Speaking of making zero sense, hey, good to be with you on this Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports, Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online, of course, at hubcityradio.com. Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? It's a Wednesday. Wednesday equals Wolves midweek around these parts on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Mark Zuckerberg is back from the beach, so we are back in business with our Facebook feed there. Apologies for that yesterday. We would love to have seen you folks joining us on the Facebook feed there yesterday with Rob Weinmeister and the cup, but we did have the photo of that. That's on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the man we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man.
Let's try that one more time. Matt McClure, good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are things going? I know it's just you and the dog this week.
Me and the dog. Me and Salty. Yeah.
Yeah, brought her in the last couple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little joy in the office seeing her. There's no doubt about it. After the start we had this week, you know, we had a blue Monday. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So to see Salty yesterday and today really brightened up the mood the last couple of days.
Yeah, morale typically when Salty's around these parts is at an all-time high around these Hub City Radio offices, for sure. I mean, Blue Monday for sure, but I tell you, whenever she's around, she's got that smile on her face, her tail's wagging.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, I have a golden retriever at home. She's 2 years old, and she's just... She's the light of my life. No, she is fantastic, though, and just a big, big, big ball of fun. And she was at the studio here this morning. I took her home here a little bit ago because I just didn't want her to be sitting here jumping up on our guests, Rocky Burkett and Brennan Phillips, joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Burkett first, Phillips second, but that might be interesting. You know, hey, guys, welcome to the Hub. And you got this just dog just slobbering all over them. That's probably not a good thing.
They would be like, what's going on here, guys? It's our emotional support sports hub, dog. You all right?
I will be. I will be when the sports season's over. I need some rest for sure, but it's good. Hey, man, jokes are free of charge. That's good stuff. And, you know, better this laugh than the other one. Yeah, that's good. Oh, man. Okay. that lady always gets me at the end. All right, so it is a Wolves midweek edition of the Sports Hub on FSA. Rocky Burkett, the head coach of the NSU wrestling squad, he'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program. They have had a phenomenal season. They're ranked 17th in the country right now. Just had three guys get announced to the national tournaments there, as Devin Barr, Chase Bloomquist, and Seth Brossard will be heading to Wichita. We'll talk about that. And then towards the bottom of the hour, I'm looking forward to this conversation as well as with Coach Burkett. But anytime you get a student athlete in here talking some baseball, always a good time. Brennan Phillips will be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. You're a big baseball guy. You're a big baseball. I think is it fair to say that you're a baseball purist? Is that fair?
I wouldn't say purist, but I'm a baseball guy for sure. Love baseball. I knew a lot more about like the MLB than I do now. I feel like I followed it a little bit more closely back, you know, I want to say 5-6 years ago than I do now. Still a big Baltimore Orioles guy. Love baseball, but I'm not as in tune as I was a couple of years ago.
Okay. Well, maybe Brennan Phillips can get you back in tune. He can just get you back to that level, maybe.
I'm looking forward to having that conversation with him because we were talking about it on Monday. 4-4 this season, right, Tukes?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, you look at that through 8 games, I think you got to be happy with that. I'm looking forward to that discussion, see where, you know, him and the team's head's at through 8 games for sure.
2-2 against William Jewell, 2-2 against Truman State. Wolves are back in action coming up this Saturday down south in Sioux Falls. They'll be taking on Mankato. That'll be a 4-game slate. Make that one on Saturday, 2 on Sunday, and then 1 on Monday. That's down south there in Sioux Falls. My name is David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the man that we like to call
Mr. Unlimited.
Right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen as we toss it skyward for this Wednesday installment of The Jump. We're keeping it very localized here today as we've got ourselves a lot of high school athletics to unpack from last night. The Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard, Class B SODAC 16 action from last night. I don't know if you know this or not, but White River has been to the state tournament a time or two. Give them 19 consecutive trips after downing Highmore Herald last night, 65-47. Nick Marshall with a game-high 28 points as they are back to the B. Are you shocked? I am shocked. I couldn't believe that White River is making their way back to Aberdeen.
Seeing the tweets last night on the final score, everybody was putting a different number on how many years straight they've been to the B. But officially, it's 19. Didn't surprise me at all. They've had a great year, and it's just unbelievable. We talk a lot about culture on this program. The culture that that program has year in, year out, getting to the state tournament and having a chance to compete for a state title every year. It's nothing short of spectacular. Congratulations to that team. I'm sure others around Class B are probably sick of seeing them in the state tournament every year. But, hey, in order to beat the man, you got to, you know, in order to get there, you got to beat them. And no one can get there.
Yeah, not a whole lot of upsets yesterday in Class B on the SODAC 16 side of things. Maybe technically a couple in terms of overall seeding. We'll get to that here in just a second. But Eldon Marshall making his return trip to Aberdeen, 19th consecutive year. There are kids on that team that aren't 19 years old. And it's like you wake up and you're like, oh, I guess we're going to the B again.
Yeah,
that's how it goes.
I was trying to think what I was doing 19 years ago. I was probably in middle school.
I was 14. Wait, no, hold on. 33. Yeah, I was 14 years old. Probably that'd be my eighth grade year. So getting ready to go to Mrs. Paulson's math class.
I was 7 years old now that I think about it. So I wasn't even in middle school yet. I was in like grade school.
Wow.
19 straight years.
That's bananas. Pretty impressive for sure.
Obviously, they're not sick of it.
No. No. Does winning ever get old? The answer is no.
N-O.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if they could be the team this year. They are the number one seed, but guess who is the number two seed? DeSmet. They downed Timberlake yesterday, 61-49. George Jensen had 16 points and 9 boards. They make their 6th consecutive trip to the B. 3-time defending state champs. They are back.
Yeah, they are back, and they lost a game in there at the beginning of the season, and everybody was like, oh, wait a second, this might not be DeSmet's year.
Lost to Del Rapids St. Mary's.
Yeah, they lost to Del Rapids St. Mary's, and everybody was like, oh, wait a second. I mean, it was a really good win for Del Rapids St. Mary's, but DeSmet has really just continued to play really well at certain points of this season. They win by 12 against the Timberlake squad that really battled in this game, really, when you look at the final score, but just not enough, and DeSmet has a chance to make it 4 straight.
Castlewood downing Centerville in the 3-14 pairing. They put up 82 points. That's a lot of points for a high school boys basketball game. Brian Lowey drops in 21 points, snags 12 rebounds. Castlewood, they're kind of a sneaky number 3 seed. I mean, they've been number 1 for a lot of the season, and they're the number 3 seed going into the B. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and another team that has a lot of B experience.
Yeah.
Brian Lowey, he's been at the B a couple times. Lane Tweet, the same. Kessler, I mean, these guys are experienced guys that have been at this level here at the State B, and now, like you said, kind of flying under the radar being a 3 seed. They spent some time at the number 1. I like this team a lot. I think this could be one of those years where they get there. We'll have to see.
And they'll have a regional matchup in that first round. More on that later. Wessington Springs downing Waverly South Shore in the 4-13 pairing at 54-35. Ryder Mikulik had 19 points and 12 boards there. For Wessington Springs, it was Howard edging Phillip by 17 points, more of just an edge. But Colt Kepsel had 10, 5-12, 45-28. Leola Frederick, they got 24 points from Noah Kipley. Braden Sumption also dropping in 19 points as well. We've been talking about Leola Frederick all year. You talk about flying under the radar.
Yeah.
They have not flown under our radar. We've been on those guys all year. Part of that is because they are local and they are regional. But still, they've got a tough matchup. They'll be taking on the 3 seed of Castlewood, and we'll, of course, have the broadcast of that. More details on that here in just a second. And it is officially official. Faith, they're not it. I said early. I was on this early. I thought they were a great team, but there was something about coming and playing an East River team in the SODAC 16. I said, I just don't see them as a team that can win the State B Championship. They're a good team. They're a good team. But not a great team. And Viborg Hurley, they downed them last night, 73-58. Brody Schrodermeyer had 26. Jackson Schauer had 33 in the Longhorn loss. He was outstanding. And Del Rapids St. Mary, they fell to Gregory, 62-46. But there you go. There you have it. The SODAC 16 in the books for Class B.
Looking forward to the Class B state tournament, and I'm sure we'll get into the matchups here in just a moment. But you got a lot of teams in here, Tukes, with a lot of State B tournament experience.
No question. 1-8. White River, Viborg Hurley, noon. Westington Springs against Howard, 4 versus 5, 145. Nightcap, DeSmet against Gregory, 6 o'clock. Castlewood against Leola Frederick, 3 versus 6, 745. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time, and I'm looking forward to it. This is, I guess, my official third year of covering the Bee. I've been doing it the last couple years. I've done the afternoon sessions the last couple years, and I've said this before, but even the consolation games that I've done, the fans are unbelievable. It's a great atmosphere, and it just makes for a great weekend. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to these first-round matchups here next Thursday.
All broadcasts right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Regionally, some of the Class A SODEC 16 matchups. I don't think any surprise Hamlin. They handle Hanson 90-43 as Jackson Wadsworth had 25 points. Dude was locked in from downtown, 7 of 9 from distance. Easton Neuendorf with 22 points and 8 boards. Tyson Stevenson with 16. Chargers showing some legit balance there. Elsewhere regionally, Milbank, they fell to Rapid City Christian. That matchup was in Pier, 82-66. Julius Frog had 24 for Rapid City Christian. Benson Kiefer also chipping in 21 there as well in the victory. Joe Schulte had 24. Jackson Wildung had 21. Garrett Mertens had 15. If you would have told me those three guys would have numbers like that, I'd say I like Milbank to win the ballgame, but defensively, just not quite enough.
Yeah, just not quite enough defensively in that one. Giving up 82 points, going to be tough to win. By the way, I think a guy that would be fun to say his name after a made basket, Julius Frog.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a broadcaster's best friend. Lots of puns can be made about that one for sure, as he was probably leaping down the aisle and finishing at the basket quite a few times there as well. Ribbiting his weight for 24, I don't know, but good for him. Congratulations, job well done. We'll see Rapid City Christian out west. And how about Groton defeating Dell Rapids at the Watertown Civic Arena? Atmosphere was fantastic there in Watertown. 8 defeats the 9, 69-55. Ryder Johnson has been quietly piecing together a really, really good start, or I guess finish to February and now early March. He had 20 last night. Lane Teets had 16. Keegan Tracy, 14. Jacob Zach, 10. What's that old word? We talk about balance, and certainly Groton had it there yesterday.
Yeah, they sure did, and I know they wanted to get back to the state tournament after last year. They got to the SODAC 16, didn't make it a season ago, and now this group of Teets, Johnson, Zach, they get to go to the state tournament, and they got an interesting matchup round one.
Yeah, they sure do, and that's going to be against Hamlin. And part of me is happy that this matchup is taking place because it means that we're going to get a regional squad moving into the right-hand side of the bracket. The other part of me is like, oh, man, one of those teams has to lose. That's a bummer. But 2 versus 7, Hamlin versus Groton, that'll be out west in Rapid City at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, looking forward to that matchup there. And Hamlin's just been on a different level this year. They hit so many threes. They hit 13 threes a game earlier this year. They hit so many. They score a ton. And that's going to be an uphill matchup for Groton just because I think they're similar styles. But I think when you look at Hamlin, they got a lot of dudes that chip into scoring. Not saying that Groton doesn't, but they got guys that can put up 15 on any given night.
1 versus 8, pairing Sioux Falls Christian against Vermilion. 4 versus 5, Pine Ridge against Dakota Valley. Sneaky 5 seed right there. And then on the bottom side there, the aforementioned Hamlin and Groton. And then Sioux Valley against Rapid City Christian, the 3 versus 6. All right, we are getting into our Wolves midweek next, as we'll be joined in studio. Rocky Burkett, the head coach of the wrestling squad, joins us on FSA. Wednesday equals Wolves midweek around these parts on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video today here in studio at Facebook, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. The leader of the pack is Rocky Burkett. He joins us in studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. You can tell the voice is a little raspy, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, doing good. Doing good. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule and joining us here. So you just had Super Region 5 wrap up over the weekend, and congratulations to Devin Barr, Chase Bloomquist, and Seth Broussard. Can you just kind of unpack those guys' weekends and how they've been so successful all year?
Yeah, I mean, it's the weekend in itself is this is going to sound really bad or weird, but I hate going there every year because it is like it's just such a tough tournament, and I know everyone says that, but like it is harder than the national tournament, and it's kind of a disservice to our athletes that they have to go through that process, and there's other regions that don't. You know, I know going into this region, I think the last thing I saw, we had 33 ranked wrestlers coming into this thing, and there's some regions that have less than 10, and everyone gets the same amount of guys per weight class. So, you know, so it's a tough weekend, man. It is a mental grind on coaches and kids, and, you know, we get there at 6:45 a.m. for our 8 a.m. weigh-in, and we left there at, I think, 9 o'clock at night. So that's all in that building all day long, waiting for matches, wrestling. It's a long day. But, you know, those guys in, particularly, they had a great day. You know, we'll start with the Seth. He was Super Region champ. We haven't had a Super Region champ since, I think, Tyler Stenberg back in probably 2017 or 2016, somewhere around in there. So great to get a Super Region champ again. Just had a dominating performance, just kind of took care of business, and he's done that all season long. I think he's 15-0 on the year right now. Probably get ranked 2 or 3 in the country. So, and then obviously Devin made the finals again. We had to medically forfeit just to kind of preserve him. He's dealing with a little injury, and you know, so we felt like it was best for him just to. We'd already qualified, and just it wasn't going to change our seed whether we win or not. So that we were going against Novak, who's a returning champ, undefeated from St. Cloud. We were probably going to be the 4 seed. He's probably going to be the 1 seed, no matter if we win or lose. So great day for him to get to the national tournament again. And then obviously Chase was kind of the cherry on top. You know, battled back through the backside and won a match in the third place match in overtime to a kid he'd beaten earlier in the year. But it went to overtime, and there was, I mean, this is just kind of Chase to a T, man. There was a gritty position where the kid was behind us to get a takedown, and it was super close. Like, I thought the match was going to be over, and Chase kept battling, did not give up the takedown. They went out of bounds. The officials reviewed it, and no takedown. And we go back to the middle, and Chase gets in on the guy's legs right away and finishes that same position. You know, same position, finishes this time, or that time, and goes to the national tournament.
What was that moment like for you, seeing that?
Like, you know, a lot of, like, relief, one, you know, joy. You know, you go from, dang it, we just got taken down, to, okay, we didn't get taken down, and then all of a sudden we're back in it, and we get the takedown. So, you know, for him, man, he's done a lot for our program. Always just been a battler. I mean, last year I can remember he wrestled the guy who was the national champ that year from Upper Iowa in our home gym, and the kid broke our nose in the first, I don't know, minute of the match, and just blood pouring. I mean, his nose was twice the size it was supposed to be, and Chase finished the match, man. Like, for our just to save team points for us so he didn't have to forfeit. But went to the hospital right after that, had a broken nose, never sat out a match or practice, had to wear a face mask, but, you know, just a tough dude, man.
So it's one of those things where a big moment like that, you got to snap your finger, you got to regroup right away,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. For him, it wasn't so bad. Probably for the other kid probably thought for about, you know, a minute he was going to the national tournament.
Yeah.
And it's taken away from him. So that's, for our guy, it's like really important to be like, hey, man, like this guy, you know, as long as you stay calm and ready, that guy may,
sure,
you know, have a lot of emotion going on.
Rocky Burkett joining us here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. So kind of a dumb follow-up question about overtime in wrestling.
Yeah.
We kind of know how overtime works in other sports. College football, we get it. NFL football, well, maybe not this year because the 49ers didn't know how to do the Super Bowl and all that good stuff. But what is overtime in wrestling, college wrestling? What does that kind of look like?
Yep. So after regulation in the match, 7-minute match, you'll go into a 2-minute sudden victory. So sudden victory means that any point scored ends the match. So it could be a penalty point, a stall point, a takedown. Match is ended right there. If nobody scores in those 2 minutes, then you go to a 30-30 ultimate tiebreaker, where basically it's ride outs. One guy has the option to choose down, the other guy rides him, and then the other guy has a choice after that for 30 seconds, and if whoever has the most points after those two 30-30s wins the match. So, and if it's still tied, it goes into another 2 minute on your feet. So,
do they call it double overtime?
Yeah, like double sudden victory. You know, I guess I don't know the exact terms.
Okay,
but
sure.
I just know we always call it overtime, no matter what. But it's sudden victory, ultimate tiebreaker, and then sudden victory. I think two. There's sudden victory. What's subscript one? Sudden victory subscript two.
Part deux.
Yeah.
Or French or something like that. Yeah, that works.
And big news for your program. Saw that Wyatt Turnquist and Seth Broussard were first team all NSIC. What's that mean to you and your program?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor. I mean, I think Wyatt's been first team 3 years in a row. You know, just super unfortunate weekend for him. This is one thing where I think, you know, I think there's things need to change with the NCAA is, you know, he's was ranked number one at some point in the country. He's been ranked top five most of the year. He won the biggest tournament in the country, the Midwest Classic, returning third place All-American, and he doesn't make the national tournament, you know. And
that doesn't make much sense.
No, no. And it's in the consolation semifinals, he has to beat the guy he beat for third and fourth last year at national tournament. So one of those guys, either him or the guys that got fourth last year at nationals, they're going home. And unfortunately, it was us. So I think things need to change on that. But great leader for our program. He's done a lot of great things. He'll regroup. He's got a COVID year, so he'll be back. But, it's kind of a tough day for him. I think we left – in our regional, we left seven All-Americans at home this year, which is kind of sad.
And somebody but like that, having that extra year, you know, you could already sense, like, hey, next year is going to be a big year for somebody like that.
Yeah, he'll be ready to go. So, but then, obviously, Seth, too, getting the first-team All-Conference, it's awesome for him, man. He's just come in on fire this year. So,
I kind of want to get into the weeds with you about that a little bit because I saw that you were tweeting about that yesterday, and there was Heath Grimm was talking about, I'm just going to read the tweet here. It says, time for the NCAA D2 and D2 wrestle to fix a broken NCAA championship qualifying system, get the most deserving wrestlers to the tournament, giving the same number of NQs, non-qualifiers, I'm assuming.
National qualifiers.
National qualifiers, excuse me. To each region is absurd. Plenty of annual crossover and historical data to support an allocation system. And you talked about that as well. You said, here are the top eight teams from the national duels this year. Four of the top eight are in Region 5. Parkside is also from Region 5. They're ranked top five most of the year. They did not attend. We were the only team from Region 5 to place, but we beat the number two seed in the first round. So I just kind of want to give you the floor a little bit and just obviously there's no perfect system. We say that all the time for all sports.
Yep.
But if you had your druthers, you've got your commissioner hat on, what do you do?
I really like the way Division I does it. I think on Heath's thing, he had their chart of what it is. I mean, the Big Ten, basically they have an RPI system, so you have to have a minimum number of matches you wrestle throughout the year to be able to meet that automatic qualifier allocation. And then it's basically based on your schedule, who you've wrestled. And, you know, the Big Ten, they'll say, okay, after doing the RPI, the Big Ten has the 10 best 125 pounders in the country, so they're going to get 10 automatic spots. So if you're placed in the top 10 at the Big Tens, you're going to automatically go to the national tournament. I just think it'd be absurd if the Big Ten had the same amount of national qualifiers as like the Southern Conference. I think if you look on that chart, the Southern Conference, I think they might have like 30 or 40 national qualifiers allotments, and the Big Ten has 87 or something like that, 85. So yeah, but if it was our system, they would be 30 and 30, you know, and that's absurd. So, I just think that we need to find a better way to do things.
Why isn't it like this?
Well, they say it's D2 is a regional model is what they say, but that is only for team advancement sports. Like any other individual sport, it is based on, like swimming, track and field, it's based on your time, right? So they take the best kids. Obviously, wrestling, you can't have a time, but we can figure out who the best wrestlers are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, going back to the Midwest Classic, I think there's 65 or 66 teams in Division II wrestling. I think there was 53 at that tournament.
Wow.
So, you know, and guess what? Out of the top nine, four of them were for our regional, and Augustana and St. Cloud didn't participate. And those are two of the top teams in our. So, you know, it's pretty crazy that it's. I mean, it's cool to be a part of that. We talked to recruits about that. Hey, you're going to be in the best conference in the country, but I don't think until you get to that qualifying system, people realize, like, man, this is brutal.
Yeah.
Pretty cutthroat. Yeah.
It is cutthroat. So that's why kind of when I let in, it's like, man, sometimes it's a miserable day just because you have a great attitude with your athletes and stuff, but inside you're just like, this is so wrong for the kids.
Right? Yeah, you could be having a great season and then one moment and it's done,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, in other sports, you know, those other individual sports, you know, you could have a great track meet, qualify when you know an A timer, you know, an A throw, and you're going to the national tournament.
Sure.
You know,
that's kind of similar to the Northern women and the Southwest women. I mean, we're talking about how good both of those teams are. And Southwest wins 19 games this year, and Northern wins 20, yeah. and neither of them are going to the regional. They're two great coaches, two great teams, and I'm thinking to myself, how are you leaving these teams home, you know? But that's the way it goes, and at some point in time, hopefully that changes, and I hopefully that's the case. Only time will tell. We were talking off the air, and maybe this will be the final one before we get you out of here, about Seth Brossard's his path to get here. He was a GA, and now he's one of the best wrestlers that you guys have in your room. Can you just kind of unpack his path to Northern and the year that he's had?
Yeah, so last spring we were looking for a grad assistant. We weren't getting a lot of traction with people or an application. So I reached out to some coaches. One of the coaches was Coach Malachek out at Wisconsin Lacrosse. And one of my old assistants was from lacrosse. And I usually reach out to Dave about GAs and stuff if there's any guys that are coming up. So he sent me Seth's stuff and said, hey, here's Seth's stuff. You know, he still has fall left of student teaching, so I don't know if it's going to work out. And I literally wasn't even going to email Seth back, but Dave's emails, he's like, but you can always reach out because you never know. And I was like, yeah, you never know. So I reached out to him, and he's like, sure enough, he does have to student teach in the fall. You know, but then we got him on campus just to kind of walk him through and say, hey, is this even a place you'd be interested in? And he goes, yeah. And then we're still working on, hey, can you come maybe December? Well, then his student teaching was going to go all the way through January. I'm like, man, that's probably not going to work out for us just because season will be all the way over. If you could come in December, you know, that's halfway through the season. I can make it work. And he goes, I want to come here. He goes, I'm not going to student teach. I'm going to figure out with my advisor what I need to do to graduate this summer, and I'm going to come be your GA. I'm like, all right, sweet. Let's do it. And so he comes out, and, just got in the room. Working with us, he was doing great, man. He's just a great worker. Comes every day with a smile on his face. Like, I've never seen anybody smile as much as Seth Brossard. So a positive dude. And we get to November, and he's, like, starting to talk in my ear. He goes, you know what? I think I want to wrestle. I'm like, dude, you told me all summer long. You told me, like, you're like, talk to me about how you're done wrestling and how you don't want to do it anymore. And now you're wanting to do it. I'm like, I don't think we're going to do it, man, because it's a hard sport. Everyone wants to do it. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I forgot how hard this was. And, you know, maybe I don't like it anymore. So I was kind of like, you're probably going to, you know, get into that phase. And he kept bugging me. And I'm like, you know, Seth, if you do this, you can't be my GA anymore. And he's like, well, I want to coach. I'm like, well, all right, well, then you can't do this. And, after we get to January, he goes, I'm not coaching, I'm wrestling. I'm like, all right, let's go do all the compliance paperwork. And if that's what you want to do, man, then that's what you want to do. And, yeah, he's been killing it ever since.
Man, that is an absolutely banana story. And
the first weekend of our season that he wrestled, he had a return, the first match, he had a returning All-American, and I think the kid was ranked fifth in the country.
Yeah.
And Seth goes out, gets taken down right away, and I'm like, dang it, this was a mistake. We shouldn't have done it. He's going to have his head, you know. It's not going to go well. And Seth gets away and then just totally beats the tar out of the kid and pins him. I'm like, holy. And then he beats the next kid really bad, and then the next kid he has was ranked fourth in the country and was a national runner-up 2 years ago, and Seth just beat the tar out of him. And I'm like, holy cow. All right.
I was rooming with Clayton Randall in Sioux Falls, and he was telling me about these stories. And I'm like, we got to get Rocky on this week on the Sports Hub. We got to talk about this. This is incredible.
Yeah.
So good luck down south in Wichita. Should be a lot of fun, and best of luck going forward.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Awesome. Head Coach Rocky Burkett joining us here live in studio on FSA. Brendan Phillips of Northern Baseball, he'll be joining us next after this. Back on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Our thanks to Rocky Burkett for joining us here live in studio talking some Northern wrestling. And we go from the mats to the diamond. Brendan Phillips joins us here in studio. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, just living the dream. Got no complaints. No complaints at all. So we're kind of talking off the air here a little bit. Two games up, two games down, then two games up and two games down. And we're kind of talking about that a little bit. Matt and I have had this conversation a couple times earlier this week, and we're saying, yeah, you feel okay about that. And you're kind of a younger team, you know, a lot of new players coming in. So 4-4, what say you? Good start to the year?
Yeah, good start. A lot of new guys this year, so kind of just getting the feel for the new team, new energy.
And you had a game this year where you scored 25 runs. Can you just walk us through that one a little bit? Have you been a part of a game quite like that in your playing career?
I've been a part of those games, but never on the winning side.
So you've always been on the losing side of those?
Yeah.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
So what's it like when you're playing in a game like that? It feels like the ball is probably like a big meatball, and you're just smacking it.
Just everybody's finding a barrel. The ball's getting through any hole in the infield. Every out is a big out.
Yeah, sounds like it. So I got to ask about your path to Northern State. You're from Illinois. I'm from Illinois originally here as well. Were you a multi-sport athlete back in the day, football, baseball, basketball? Or were you just kind of a strictly a baseball guy? What's your path to Northern?
So in high school, I was a big basketball guy, and baseball was kind of the second sport. And then I decided to go to college for baseball at Southwestern Community College in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I went to Bismarck State in North Dakota. And that's kind of where I met Coach Barry and Coach Klosterman. And now I'm here.
Why'd you choose baseball over basketball? You said basketball was your numero uno there, so what changed?
Just felt like there was a brighter future, maybe a longer one too. So all my siblings were baseball guys too. So,
do you like, I mean, obviously you like baseball, you know, better now, but was there a moment where you were all basketball, all in at one time?
It was kind of 50-50.
50-50?
Yeah.
So your time at Bismarck State, you know, you go from decent temperatures in Illinois and then to Bismarck State. It's probably cold all the time. Much better in Aberdeen or not so much?
Yeah, a lot less snow. I've heard in past years there was been some bad winters, but this winter's been so good.
AKA last winter.
Yeah. Yeah, we got like 87 odd inches or something like that last year.
But looking at your individual stats here, Brennan, you're getting off to a great start. You got 12 hits on the year. It looks like you're hitting .600. I mean, you're seeing the ball really well through eight games. What's your approach been like at the plate? 12 hits through eight games, pretty darn good.
Just seeing pitches and kind of swinging at the ones in the zone, as simple as that sounds, but kind of seeing the pitches where I want to and just hitting the ball where they're pitched.
Northern State catcher Brennan Phillips joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Now, this may be hard to believe, but I actually used to play catcher back in the day.
Okay.
I mean, like, way back in the day.
I did, too.
Did you?
I didn't wear a catcher's mitt.
Yeah.
And they told me, like, I was, like, getting to that age where it was, like, you were playing, you know, bigger baseball or, you know, they extend the field or whatever.
Yep.
And they're like, hey, Matt, you can't be wearing your infielder's glove to catch anymore, man.
Yeah.
And I got back there. They put me back there and I'm like, I can't catch the ball with this catcher's mitt. I had to learn how to do that.
So sure.
They were like, yeah, we'll stick you out there at the hot corner there at third. You can't catch this ball. I don't understand it.
Wow. When I played catcher, a ball took off one of my nails, and that was it. That was the last day I played baseball, I think, essentially. Yeah, that was my pointer finger right there. You can see it's still kind of a little bit misfigured and disshapen and stuff like that. So how'd you get into the catcher position? Why not, you know, center field or something else?
I'd have to put that one on my siblings. They were all catchers, all older, and I kind of just wanted to be like them at a younger age, so stuck with it.
So brothers and sisters, you have both? Or
yes. Yes.
So what was the household growing up in the Phillips household looking like? Probably a lot of maybe some knockdown drag out fights and stuff or some brotherly rivalries?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of that. A lot of sports. All of us played sports, so we were kind of always at someone's game or some field.
To piggyback off of Tukes' question with being a catcher, obviously you got to know all kinds of what different pitchers do, what they throw. Is that difficult at all? You know, you got a starter out there throwing seven innings, and maybe a guy comes in, throws a third of an inning, then another guy comes in. Is that difficult at all, you know, trying to have that, you know, catcher-pitcher relationship when guys are, you know, going in and throwing on the mound like that?
A little bit, just being a new guy here at this school, so I kind of had to get with all the new pitchers' tendencies and what they like throwing in certain counts. But it's gotten a lot easier, and we all have a pretty good relationship together, so that definitely helps too.
Brennan Phillips joining us here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's kind of like in volleyball when you got a setter and she's working with her hitters, you know, her right side hitter or her middle or something like that. It takes a long time to get that camaraderie down. So how long did it take for you to kind of get with your pitchers and kind of know what's coming next? Okay, here's a 3-1 pitch. You know, I'd really like to go with a slider here rather than some heat, or kind of walk us through, maybe you don't want to reveal too much with whoever's out there listening, but, you know, what's kind of your pitch selection like, and how does that kind of work out?
Well, it definitely took a couple months to figure out which pitcher likes to throw this there and who's going to locate what pitch. But it's kind of just get ahead. You know, it's tough to throw whatever you want when you're down 3-0 or 2-0. So getting ahead is the most important part.
Yeah, and, you know, as a catcher, they kind of say you're the quarterback of the defense, right? I mean, obviously center fielder, you know, you can see everything, you know, on the defensive side. Is it your job to, hey, you know, we got a lefty up here, you know, shift a little bit? I know coaches have something to do with that as well, but do you have any part in that as well?
A little bit. Most of that will come from the scout days, the days before, so everybody will kind of be on the same page, but kind of just like friendly reminders when I'm out there to guys to where they should be positioned at and stuff.
So how much of film study is there in baseball? It's kind of a dumb question. I know in basketball they're saying, okay, you know, this point guard likes to go to their left a lot with a left-handed dribble. Football, it's like, oh, it's 3rd and 6. They're probably going to run this play. What's it like for baseball in terms of film study and that sort of thing?
I would say it's pretty similar compared to other sports. We kind of study what pitchers like to throw and what counts they'll throw it, different hitters' tendencies, who's going to bunt, who's going to run, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a superstitious kind of guy? You got 12 hits here. Are you going to do the same thing you've been doing here for game day the last couple of weeks? Because, you know, baseball, it's very up and down. You're on a high right now. You're just going to kind of going to continue to do what you're doing, you know, with your routine game day?
Yeah, I try to keep the same routine for the past couple of years of college, actually, just be in the right mindset before games.
Walk us through the game day routine. You got to have like a certain like flavor of Bubblicious gum or something like that. You got to put the right sock on before the left. Give me some good superstitions.
So I like to wake up early, normally at a hotel. I like to wake up early and go through film again with all the notes. Nice cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And then listen to the same music for every game that I've been listening for the past couple of years.
What's on the playlist?
A lot of Illinois artists. So like G Herbo and that stuff. And then after games, I'm a big country guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Is there like a certain superstition that some of your teammates have and you're trying to tell them like, hey, superstitions aren't a real thing? It's like, hey, we won the game last week because you ate in front of me in the omelet line. No. It's like, do you what's the weirdest superstition that some of your teammates have? Is there anything else out there that we can toss out there?
Wouldn't say there's too much weird stuff. I know some guys like to blast their music, and some guys are more no music at all, complete silence, kind of just stare off into space and think.
Now, are you a big batting cages guy pregame? Like, are you, like, really working on that? I know some guys like to – they need to see, you know, they might be hitting on the tee, they might do soft toss. Is there something that you're doing in the cages that you really like to do, warm-up?
Oh, I like to – during warm-ups, we normally take BP on their field.
Okay.
So I like to kind of work hitting the ball the other way. So in game, when it comes, it just feels natural.
A couple more here with Brennan Phillips on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I find it so wild that none of your teammates are really superstitious, because baseball historically is like the most superstitious sport out there in the world, which is kind of crazy. But Cubs fan, Sox fan, or somebody different? Sox, okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think this year? Probably not so great, huh?
Yeah, no.
And they were good a couple of years ago. Last year it all went down. I thought they had pretty good expectations going into next year, right?
I think it was 2019. They had a good year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just been down since.
Doesn't 29 feel like it was like last year, 2 years ago? It's 5 years ago already.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you're a Bears guy too?
Cowboys.
Cowboys, okay.
Yeah. How'd that happen?
My
Paula Kruger talk you into it?
No, my dad's a big Cowboys fan, so he kind of brought us all in.
Well, no one's perfect. No, I'm just teasing. I'm a Seahawks fan. We stink too, so it's all good. Well, the Cowboys don't stink. They're always consistently good. They're always like pretty good.
I heard an argument like earlier this week. Do they have a winning culture, although they haven't been able to win a championship? I think they have. I mean, you're first in the division. You make the playoffs every year. What do you think?
Playoffs. Yeah, every year.
I have to drop in the Jim Mora playoff sounder here. Well, you've got Mankato coming up this week down south in Sioux Falls. What's the kind of early scouting report looking like for them?
Let's play our game. Yeah, I think with this new team, we've kind of figured out that when we play our game, we put ourselves in a good spot to win. So it's kind of just sticking to our game and just playing Wolves baseball.
You got any pranks or anything like that you're pulling on your buddies yet? That's a great way to bond with a new team. A lot of new young players, good pranks. You got anything up your sleeve?
One thing I had to do this year is our first bus trip, all the new guys got to sing a song with the headphones on, and you kind of just, yeah.
What song do you have to sing?
I sang the song Worth It.
Worth It? Okay. Yeah.
By who?
YK Osiris.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So everything, of course, is always videotaped, right? So yeah. All your buddies are probably hassling you over that.
Yeah.
Do you actually have a good? I'm not going to make you sing, but do you have a decent singing voice at least?
I advanced the championship round.
Oh. Hey, all right,
there we go.
Didn't win it, but
so who won?
Michael Benavides, our center fielder.
Okay, gotcha. We're gonna have to get him on the program at some point in time. Send him to American Idol or something. Any shout outs to family, friends, mom, dad, brothers, sisters? Kind of wrap things up a little bit.
I think my family's watching back home right now, so. Shout out to them.
All right.
Supported me through all this.
There you go. Right on. Well, good luck down south in Sioux Falls this weekend, and thanks for popping in today.
Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. Brendan Phillips joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll wrap up this Wednesday edition of The Hub after this. Back on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well in studio on Facebook, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. If you missed any portion of the show and our conversations with Rocky Burkett or Brennan Phillips, you can check that out following the show on our website on hubcityradio.com or on the Facebook feed there as well. facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. So we talked about the Class B and Class A SODAC 16 pairings. Those are officially done, and the state tournaments are officially out and ready to go. Again, you can check out our website, hubcityradio.com, and the Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard for more details there and the individual high notes and what have you. It's all on our website there on hubcityradio.com. On the college basketball side of things, let's start up on the GPAC. Over on the women's side, the tournament wrapped up yesterday as Dort, they took care of business over Concordia, Nebraska, 79-71. Janie Schoonhoven, a game-high 24 points there for the defenders as they win by 8 over their counterparts from Nebraska. And on the guys' side of things, big game for Reggie Thomas as Hastings defeats Morningside 77-61 in the championship there. So congratulations to the defenders and the Hastings Broncos there, respectively, on the ladies' and gentlemen's side. Well, this is the first time it's ever happened in the history of the NSIC, at least that's according to Twitter and what Twitter said from the NSIC Twitter handle there. First time that both genders have the exact same champion, MSU Mankato.
Oh, wow.
They run the table. Congratulations to the Mavericks there. On the women's side of things, boy, I texted you last night. I was texting Paula Kruger last night. I was like, Coach, you got to get a load of some of these numbers. And she's like, well, what was the number in this category? And she goes, okay, yep, that pretty much expects it. That explains it. Talking about the turnovers, this is insane to me. You marry, they lose the ball game 89-74, but they shoot 60% from the field. They go 13 on the glass, and somehow, some way, you find a way to lose by 15 points. How? How can that happen? Well, there's that one stinking category that we've been talking about since the bicentennial. Turnovers. Do not turn the ball over against Mankato. They will make you pay. The Mavs forced 32 turnovers yesterday. They had 46 points off of those 32 turnovers. That's the ball game.
I got a text from Tukes yesterday, guys. It was UMary shooting 60% in the title game versus Mankato, plus 14 on the glass. I say, they winning? Down 18 points. 32 turnovers. That's really the difference of the game right there, the 32 turnovers in the game. And, you know, they shot the ball really well. Lexi Schneider, you know, didn't have the best game offensively when you look at scoring. Just talking about scoring, she still had a double-double and 6 assists. But I think in that kind of game, you need her to have north of 25. I really believe that. She has, you know, still a great game with a 15-10, but I think that could also be a factor in this as well. They did a pretty good job on her scoring-wise, but the 32 turnovers, the biggest difference of the game. It's just an amazing stat. that Mankato is able to just force turnovers like that. Every team in the whole NSIC has had problems with this defense. You marry the number two seed. Northern's had their problems, a great team. Every team has had problems with this defense. They can't figure it out. When you have the personnel and you got, you know, the scheme, stuff like this happens. Congratulations to them. They're a really good squad.
And it's interesting because when Northern beat Mankato a couple weeks ago, they turned it over 25 times. Paul Kruger's like, yeah, we feel good about that number.
That's a pretty good number.
It's a pretty good number, all things considered.
Yeah, and I remember when we were previewing that matchup, I was like, yeah, if you can cut that in half, you cut me off, you're like, if they can just be under the average, they got a good chance.
And they did.
And they did, and they were able to win that game. But, man. You know, you shoot 60% on the game and you still lose by 15.
That's nuts.
That is wild. That is wild.
Very, very, very strange numbers for sure. But turnovers, they are, it's quite the bugaboo for sure. As for the Mankato guys, they made it look easy against Duluth. They just said, okay, Drew Blair, you go ahead and do your thing. He had 27 points. That's a really nice game. But Mankato's offense, they had themselves a really solid game there as well. Very, very well-balanced attack for them in a 99, make it 97-77 victory. Malik Willingham, MVP of the NSIC, he had 21 points. Justin Egan's, the transfer from Wayne, he had 20. Kyrese Willingham had 15 points and 8 boards. Elijah Hayeskamp had 12. I saw Mankato live the first time in person in Mankato. That was, I think, back in early January. First time I saw them, I'm like, man, that guy's good. That guy's really good, too. You know, that guy, he never misses. This guy's really good. This team is probably going to win the conference. And lo and behold, there you have it.
They really did. I think they got woke up a little bit, too, in the first matchup, right, too? Because, I mean, they had a tight game the first night. And then you got to come back. They settled in and beat a really good Duluth team by 20. You mentioned the balance, 97 points. In college basketball, it's going to be tough to lose when you score at that number.
No question. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. We're back at it tomorrow on a Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on FSA.